Bye for now.
Season 3.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus in British Columbia.
Welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
Honest to yourself, Sebastian.
I try to be. I think all of us have at least one lie that we tell ourselves on the daily, but I try to cut past that, I like to hope to think. Why do you bring this up?
Well, because I'm asking if this year you have been true to your own personality, spirit, or character.
Probably.
Yeah. I ask it because every year we tend to take a look at the word of the year.
Okay.
And Merriam-Webster has put out their word of the year, and it is authentic.
That, what? But, okay, yeah. That's... You know, that word is pretty old. It's been around for a while.
Yeah, it's not a new word. But I think it really says something about the sort of cultural zeitgeist moment that we're in, which a non-stupid way of saying that is, I think we're in a moment in time where people, I think, want to feel real and connected, especially with things like, you know, ballooning food prices. You know, people were feeling quite disconnected and sort of faking that connection to reality. I don't know. I think there's definitely been a push on being authentic this year.
Yeah, I just looked it up. It's first attested in the mid-14th century. It's a pretty old word, but I guess when they're saying word of the year, they're not talking about newly coined word of the year. They're talking about it as like the word that defines the year, or the word that captures, you know, the essence of, you know, whatever's in newspapers and social media discussion and all that.
Was one word that came up that I think does reflect what you were talking about more, and that's raise.
Oh, God, I hate that word. Mostly because it took me like 3 weeks to figure out what it even means. As you know, I'm dating a gentleman who's a bit younger than myself, and he uses all the young people words, and I'm in my 40s, and I would use a word, and I would say, did I use that right? And he would just start laughing and say no, and he gave me no hints about what I was doing. So I did know that Riz is short for charisma, but I didn't realize that it's not just general friendliness or charm. It is specifically sexual charisma and the ability to attract someone you're attracted to. It took me a while to figure that out.
I think it doesn't just romantic appeal or charm.
It means you've got the charm of a player, and that you're talented at acquiring partners, especially sexual partners, not necessarily for dating.
Now it's
a lot
worth
of trial
noting
and error in me figuring that one out, and I fully admit, even when I was young, I didn't get the young words. When I was in high school, people would be like, you're not using that word right. So I was just born to be an old man. So when I realized I had no idea what people were talking about in my like late 20s, I didn't go through some kind of existential crisis. I was like, oh, more of the same, I guess. So yeah, That's how I feel about that. That's the glory of being born an old man who never quite fit in, is that aging is a very easy process for you. But anyway,
I know that some of the earlier creators, attributed to coining the term Riz, claim that in fact it is not just a shortening of the word charisma, that it is actually, it has other oranges, but that's not necessarily you know, fleshed out. I think the consensus seems to be that it's probably just charisma. So yeah, authenticity and charisma, or sorry, authenticity and riz dominated the words of the year. Other ones are obvious. X became a word of the year, although it's a letter, and the company formerly known as Twitter. Coronation became a word of the year.
EGOT
implode.
A really good solution to the struggle of saying Twitter or X, formerly known as Twitter. I've seen a lot of people just started calling it Twitter X. That really does seem to split the difference there. And it also makes it seem like you don't know what you're talking about. Like when people say like OS X instead of OS 10, or, you know, Saw X instead of Saw 10. I don't know why Twitter 10, but there you go. It's one letter. Like, it was just, oh man, there's been a few things, controversial things that Elon Musk did where I kind of fell on the side of like, well, you know, I get it, but this one is just baffling. But yeah, anyway, sorry, go on. Words of the year.
I mean, it's, yeah, but yeah, we'll keep an eye out on those and other words as they develop. Now, there was a story back in August and it caused quite a kerfuffle. Quite a kerfuffle. There was a federal court judge. Mm-hmm. I think ruckus would be an appropriate term.
But not a din. Not that bad.
Well, in certain communities, it was a din. Oh. It was definitely a din.
We're getting all those crossword words out there.
I know. Yeah, din is a great word. A three-letter word. The federal court judge, Richard Bell, caused a bit of an issue. He was adjudicating a immigration case for Colin James Ewan. He uses he, him pronouns, born male, is male, he, him, all of that jazz. Solid. He was supposed to be deported from Canada. I think he was being deported back to the UK for an assault conviction that he had. And this judge, Judge Bell, was reading over all of the documentation and found in, you know, these government forms, he found in, I think, one page in one document, or if not maybe a couple of times, that he had occasionally the he, him, pro forma pronouns were they, them.
Okay.
And he said that the government will now have to review all of the documentation for these pronoun inconsistencies, and also to, you know, investigate whether or not the UK, the Canadian government had violated the man's charter rights by incorrectly using the pronoun use. Now, it's worth noting that Colin James Ewan, the person, he, him, who was aggrieved, didn't actually notice and didn't know. He didn't know. His lawyers didn't know. The Crown Prosecution lawyers didn't know. Nobody knew, except for the judge who had spotted this.
Okay.
So the judge is like, violation of the charter rights, sort it out, fix the paperwork. Obviously, Ewan Bell is thrilled. He's not being deported straight away. Mm-hmm. But the federal government and the prosecutors are thinking, like, this is a stretch. Not responding to I am aggrieved, it's the wrong pronouns. Mm-hmm. In fact, broadly, just not bothered. You know what I mean?
I mean, the charter rights, it doesn't mean you're not going to get deported for an unconvicted assault charge. It just means that they would probably have to issue an apology for getting the pronouns wrong, assuming that was even the case, which apparently it is not. So I don't know. The whole thing is bizarre. It's not like they're deporting him back to a country where he's going to get 20 years imprisonment for his gender identity either. So that there's no cause for him being like a sexual minority refugee or anything either. So the whole thing is, it's one of those things where it's like, I see what you're trying to do, but really, guy, I don't know. I feel like that's probably the best interpretation. Like, good job, good effort, you know, B+, but wrong place, wrong time.
You know, you nailed it. So the three panel Court of Appeals judges in, you know, Canadian Court of Appeals reviewed it because the government, you know, Judge Bell is like, figure this out. Everybody tell me whether or not this violates charter rights. Mm-hmm. And the government was like, no, we're not going to do that. Like, this so superfluous to the actual immigration question of law that is supposed to be decided. Yeah. You know, lawyers are they like to fix on the thing that they're focusing on. And so they appealed it. And the three-court panel essentially said, look, the decision to, quote, inquire into whether the government's use of gender-neutral pronouns in its submissions infringed on the charter rights has no basis in immigration law. And the judge effectively exceeded his jurisdiction, overstepped his role, you know, quite simply, didn't stay in his lane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like as I said, if this were about asylum or refugee status or some kind of emergency immigration case because they were coming from a country with a, you know, a few laws that were not so friendly to certain gender or sexual identities, then I mean, I could see them putting together, like slapping together like a quick, you know, let's get some adjudication in here quickly. But no, it just doesn't apply. It's I don't know. It's overextension. Yeah, I think that's a good way. Yeah.
Well, it caused quite the uproar in August, and I think we may have mentioned it in passing on the show. But the idea that your court case could be called into question because a bureaucrat circled the wrong option. Like, don't get me wrong, I am all for efficient and correct bureaucracy. You know what I mean? But there is a genuine error and an attempt by the government to stifle your gender identity. And in this case, I don't think it was an attempt to stifle identity, especially as, you know, it was this individual never brought it up. His lawyers never brought it up. It was the judge himself that wanted to dive into this. Now, as it happens, about 2 or 3 weeks later, Judge Bell retired from the bench.
Okay.
So I, you know, maybe he was on his way out and he's like, you know what? Yeah, whatever. Make busy work. You know, you can stay in the country another 2 or 3 weeks. Or I think it turned out to be about 3.5 months whilst they then decided on this. So who knows? Was it a Hail Mary to save the guy from going back to the UK? Who knows? But it really did question, like the appeals panel's judges, I think really made it quite clear. Look, questions of charter rights. And in fact, if you remember, we talked about this with the Alberta School Board discussion last week, where that school board and this panel have said, wrong place, wrong time. You know, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms has, you know, there are mechanisms and avenues to challenge when you feel aggrieved. You know, bringing it up out of left field in an immigration case, maybe not. You know, challenging a school board, maybe not. You know, time and a place. You know, you can't just bring a sledgehammer to your pottery class. Like, it's just not gonna it's not gonna work.
Got it.
I don't know why I thought sledgehammers and pottery, but that's sort of where I ended up. Now, I believe
you don't need you to have with a power washer.
Much better example. Much better example. Yeah. You actually have another Canadian story?
Yes, coming out of Alberta. There is a small town called Westlock. This kind of goes back to the kind of discussion we normally have at the beginning of summer when it comes to Pride season and crosswalks. So there is a town called Westlock in Alberta that recently had a municipal, a vote in their Chamber of Commerce. And actually, no, I think they're doing a plebiscite. Yeah, they're doing polls about whether or not they should allow the rainbow flag to be raised. And It's not just the rainbow flag. It's basically the idea of we let it all in or we don't let any of it in. So they're kind of landing on the none of it side. So currently, it stands to look like they're going to put in a municipal bylaw that on municipal property, so you can do whatever you want in your own private home. If you have a business, you can hang whatever you want in your window. But on lampposts, on municipal flagpoles, on anything with municipal funding, like schools or hospitals, if they have a flagpole, you can put up the municipal flag, the provincial flag, the Canadian flag, end of list. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a way to get around things. So one of the organizers for this basically said, or Stephanie Baker, I should, you know, their name's in the news, so it's fine. They said, I believe it's very important for the government to remain neutral, not to promote any one ideology or cause or anything above another. Where they play favorites, they can also later discriminate. They shouldn't have the power to either play favors or discriminate. So it's the idea of saying we choose to fly the rainbow flag also means that if they can do that, can they also turn around and say we refuse to fly some other group's flag because it's at their discretion? You know, you need a rule that says when do you do it, when do you not do it. And you could just say if somebody asks and there's no harm in it, like they're not flying a flag of a famous hate symbol, for example, then it's fine. But then of course you get into the issue of, you know, what if two different ethnic groups have a cultural week at the same time? You know, do you fly, you know, the Ukrainian flag for the local, because it is Alberta, they have a huge Ukrainian population there, or do you fly the Greek flag because it just happens to be that they both have their thing in the same week? How do you resolve that issue? Just say none of it, just the official symbols. Now, we've had this discussion before, and I think of this as the best plan B. If you can't come to an agreement, just say, tell you what, just the official stuff. I do think there could be an exception for BIAs. Like if you have a recognized village that you can put the rainbow flags on the lamppost there because that village has been recognized and identified. Same thing, like if you have a Little Italy, you can put Italian flags up. If you have a Chinatown, you can put Chinese flags up or Chinese symbols of some kind. The flag of China has symbolism as well to do with, you know, a certain political movement that is unpopular in Canada. But anyway, and they kind of said, no, none of it, just the municipal stuff. And I'm actually all for it, but there is one loophole, and that is that when they did this, they forgot to include the Alexander First Nation because they actually have a band treaty with a local Indigenous community. And that, well, two actually. So you have a Cree community nearby and you have a Métis community nearby, and neither of them can fly their flags either. Now, because the band treaty is part of the foundation of the municipality, I actually kind of agree with the complaint that why can't they fly their flags? It is sort of written in the books. Why not them? And it is, in a sense, like the band treaties are part of the municipality in their own way. So I don't know. The way that I see it is like they kind of forgot two exceptions, you know? And you could say only put it where it's relevant. Like you don't have to put the Métis flag at the local hospital. But, you know, if you have City Hall, it kind of belongs there. If you have a school that's like 90% Métis, then obviously it would go there. I don't know. It's or if they have a community center that is municipally funded but caters to Indigenous communities, then obviously it should go there. I don't know. There's a few exceptions here, and it is kind of getting more into the Indigenous issues and less into the queer issues. But like, it's still, you know, it's a thing that has been going across the country, and they've come to this conclusion. Now, the biggest problem is that they're not going to grandfather anything in, and they do already have some rainbow crosswalks painted. So the issue is, are they going to paint over them with white right away? Or are they just going to wait them to fade? And the next time they, because if they just let them fade and the next time they refresh the paint, which has to happen every couple of years anyway, then they did it white then and just left it alone. I don't know. It's kind of like rubbing salt in the wound if they do it right away, if they rush to it, versus if they're like, it's money and the rainbow paint actually fades faster than the white paint. And I don't know. It's, that is one interesting exception where I'm like, I don't know what the answer to that is. I can't even think.
I disagree. I think that they have gone in the wrong direction. It's a thorny topic mm-hmm. about how municipalities should celebrate and empower elements of their community.
Yes.
Every time you're spending on a park in this neighborhood, you're not spending on a park in that neighborhood. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, there are decisions that always have to be made. Mm-hmm. A key part of that that gets me thinking is, it just seems like it's pushing it out of sight, out of mind. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, there's never going to be a majority queer town council in rural Alberta, because the numbers will just never stack up.
Well, you don't know that. They could get their own little province town or Fire Island one day.
You know, at about 4 or 5% of the population, you know, we're always going to be in the minority, you know, and it could be the same for, you know, the Jewish community or Chinese Canadians. Mm-hmm. You know, you're never going to topple that 75-80% majority to be able to decide, you know what? Yeah, it's just government official things.
Yeah.
And who decides what's government official flags? The majority. And who are the majority? Nearly always straight. It's like the ones setting the rules are not the ones that are being represented by these flags and these initiatives. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think this further silences the minority and, more importantly, brushes away the symbolism of minority communities, be that LGBTQ, which is about 4 or 5% of the population, or, you know, it could be the Chinese, it could be Jewish communities, mm-hmm. doesn't matter. Our municipalities have a responsibility to all of their representatives, mm-hmm. not just the folks that look and make up the majority of the group. So I don't know, maybe I'm too lefty for this, and I'm landing on the side of flags.
You could argue that the country, the province, and the city is meant to represent everyone. And if you feel like you're not represented by that, then that's an issue with you, that they're trying to include everyone. And another issue, and this is something that has no answer that would take less than 2 hours, is that the LGBT community itself can't agree on a flag. Do you go with Rainbow Classic? Do you go with Progress? Do you go with Progress with the asexual ring in it? Do you go with Progress with the asexual ring and the red umbrella? Like, there's now an increasing number of possible rainbow flags to choose from. And the community itself can't agree on a single symbol. I mean, you can go with Rainbow Classic. That is, you know, classic for a reason. It's been around forever. But then you have other people saying, well, why didn't you go with Progress flag? Now you're leaving other people out. Like, it's an endless debate back and forth that even the LGBT community itself can't even agree on.
I get it. It's also a bit of a cop-out. No flags, because choosing which one is too difficult. I'm like, yeah, it's like there's easier debates. All right, we're gonna play now with Boys Beware and Mad Sci, and then after that the interview with Katie that I did, Catie, not a lovely lady called Katie, and mm-hmm. we'll be back just after this.
Boys Beware. I met a boy from out of town. Oh, he was perfect and he turned me upside down. He had a smile that all the girls adored. My mother warned me, don't you kiss the boy next door. Boys, beware, 'cause he just toys with your emotion, makes you feel like you've become insane. He'll hug you with a knife behind his back. But you had the gun. Say yes to heaven. You chew my heart like bubble gum. Tease me, please me, then you're off to leave me for somebody else who makes you feel like I do. Boys, beware, 'cause he enjoys.
Now, this show is going out across the country the first week of December. So you might be hearing us on the 4th, 5th, 6th, or 7th. And as part of the efforts around World AIDS Day, we're going to have a conversation about where are we sitting at with HIV infections in Canada right now. But also a very exciting initiative. And we've talked about this coming from, I think it was the CRBC. No, that's a bank. The community research organization out of Vancouver, who I think also did a similar initiative in terms of rolling out self-test kits. But we'll get into that in just a few minutes. But first of all, thank you so much, Sean, for joining us. It sounds like you've had a busy morning talking to media as the world's attention seems to zero in on HIV this week.
Yeah, it's a bittersweet anniversary. It's, December 1st is coming up and it's World AIDS Day. And, it reminds us of this pandemic that started many years ago and reminds us that there's still a lot of work to be done to end AIDS as a public health issue for the future.
Now, just for our listeners who may not be aware, there's approximately about 6,500 Canadians right now who are living with HIV. And are undiagnosed. So the estimate, I think, is what 1 in 10, give or take, are not aware of the diagnosis.
Yeah.
Does that concern you? That's a lot of people.
Yeah. And so, I think that we need to encourage everyone who's sexually active to get an HIV test. And there are many ways you can do this. So there are, you can go to a clinic, you can go to a doctor's office, but there's also an HIV self-test. And I think that's important because it gives people yet another option. And self-testing is really easy. It's simple. It's just a finger prick and you get the results in a minute. And it's convenient. And you can get an HIV self-test kit by going to this website called selftest.kd.ca, and I'll spell it out for your listeners. That's selftest.kd.ca. And you can order a self-test kit there. It comes with the instructions and what to do.
I'm taking a look at it and it is, it looks very, very simple and easy. And I think, Canada and the world at large has been in a bit of a battle to tackle this disease. And I think my understanding is right now, the only province that seems to have a handle on it is Newfoundland in terms of, being able to, hopefully tamp down this the rate of new infections. Am I correct there? Is there other glimmers of hope across Canada?
I'll have to get back to you on that. I'll get our people to get back to you. So I'll just make a note of that.
No worries. Yeah, we will definitely find the source for that information.
Yeah.
I'm just pulling it up here, actually. I think I picked it up, that information up from the AIDS Committee of Ottawa.
Okay,
so that's where they had it. They are the only province, Newfoundland and Labrador, to have achieved the 2025 AIDS target. Just for those who aren't familiar, the Canadian AIDS target is 95% of people living with HIV knowing this now.